The shadow standing before me cut an intimidating figure. He wore a long black coat with a series of silver buttons running down either side of the split. Atop his head was a wide black hat with a slightly frayed brim, only somewhat obscuring a handsome face. "Hello, Manchester." I set the bottle down. "Having a nice celebration?"
"Kind of you to notice. You know, it's Nepalese custom to buy the celebratory drink."
The slurring must have been evident, because a look of disgust crossed Manchester's face. He had never approved of drinking on the job, even in times of celebration. "The wargs didn't kill those people. And even you were smart enough to figure out it wasn't a werewolf."
"Yeah."
I could see there was a point to his diatribe, but most of my mental acuity had diluted along with the fermented substances in my bloodstream.
"I think you and I both know what killed them."
"Tooth fairy!"
"Imbecile. The Yeti is no myth."
As the word dripped off his tongue, I became aware of just how silent the lodge had become. No one was moving. The dancing had stopped, and James cowered in a corner as if waiting for me to yell at him.
"The last Yeti was seen over 200 years ago. They've all died out. I'd just as soon hunt a T-Rex."
Some drunken part of my mind thought that a T-Rex might be a possibility.
"You're not even going to entertain the idea. All of the signs point to this. You can't just ignore it and pretend you've solved the problem. If I'm right, this isn't just going to fade away."
"Do you realise what a Yeti in these mountains would mean?"
My head was throbbing, and I wasn't ready to hear what Manchester had to say next.
"Yes, the gates of Shangri-La have opened."
"What makes you think the gates are even there?"
"The locals tell a story."
"Of course they do. Every local has a story about some beastie unique to their home. Makes good fun for scaring the tourists."
For the most part, these ended up being uneducated interpretations of monsters that had long ago been classified. As such, I never got worked up over the word of a local tale. Manchester continued as if I'd said nothing.
"When the world is in a time of great change and turmoil, the lines that separate our world from others can become blurred. It's during these times that the gates open, letting creatures from that world into our own."
I cocked an eyebrow. My interest slightly piqued.
"Think about it. It would explain why sightings of the Yeti are so few and far between. That species may only appear once every 100 years, or even millennia. Don't you see this is an opportunity to explore something completely new? Even if there's nothing up there, it's at least worth a look."
The wheels were turning for me again as the wine faded.
Backer, you said that the world has to be in extreme turmoil for the gates to open. The world may be in turmoil now, but what separates this period in history from any other?"
"Not a whole lot, as it turns out. There's still war and killing all over the world. But there is one thing different, and it's a big one. Climate change."
Get off your high horse!"
I jumped up from the table.
"If you wanted to peddle a political agenda, you shouldn't have come to Nepal."
"We're not in Nepal."
"You know what I meant."
"It's a fact, Nick. The glaciers are shifting. Not much up in the mountains here, but even the slightest change could have uncovered something."
"Sounds to me like you're jumping at shadows."
I swept up my bag from beneath the table and prepared to head to my room.
"I've got my money and the villagers are safe. I'm going home."
A small group of villagers had gathered around to watch the argument, and I instinctively pulled the satchel of money closer to me.
"If that's what you want to do, I can't stop you. I'll be leading a team up the mountain in 2 days' time. I had rather hoped that you would join us. The rewards will be great for both of us."
Manchester gave me one last look, but apparently decided I was too far gone.
"All right then, I'll see you around, Nick. Have a pleasant night."
Manchester snapped his fingers and a large group of men rose to follow him out. I hadn't even noticed them come in. A light snow blew in through the doorway as they left, sucking the remaining warmth from the room. "James, I think it's time we retire for the evening. We've made our way up the stairs fast so as to avoid the now prying eyes of the villagers. On the second floor, the air was thick with incense. I stepped through the door to our room and began to throw everything in my bag as fast as I could.
We have to leave at first light. There's no way we're getting down in the dark, but I'm not keen on staying here any longer than we have to. I've seen that look before, James. Those villagers want their money back. The thought terrified me. Then James said it.
What if he's right, Nick?
He was apprehensive. He's not.
Didn't it seem a little odd to you? Warg's taking down an entire climbing team?
I'd hardly consider three people a climbing team.
But he's Manchester.
James was showing both his youth and his stupidity. And he's a bloody idiot. Just because he's got a title, it doesn't make him right. Pack the gear and get some sleep. It's going to be a long trip down, and you need to start thinking of reasons I shouldn't fire you. I flopped down on top of my half-packed bag and fell into an uneasy, drunken sleep.